You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio.
We're not trying to rush away summer, but you're going to blink your eyes, and it's going to be foosball season, like they say in The Waterboy. Amber Wilson, Freddie coming together this morning on ESPN Radio, as well as the ESPN app. SiriusXM Channel 80. Don't forget about us on ESPNU, presented by Progressive Insurance, because everybody's excited about the NFL's using Amber. She's a Miami Dolphins fan. She firmly believes Tua Tagovailoa is going to stay healthy. Jalen Waddle is going to catch over 100 passes. So is Tyreek Hill. They're going to challenge in the AFC. She's excited when it comes to Miami football in September. You could also say the same thing, Amber, about college football. And you know this as a Florida Gator fan, as a Florida Gator gal, what it means more in the SEC, especially in September, getting closer and closer and closer and closer.
Yeah, I'm a little less excited for the Gator season with the schedule than I am for my Miami Dolphins season.
But Billy Napier's got them going in the right direction, though.
Yeah, well, listen, it's not about Napier even, or even about the talent that's on the team, because his recruiting has actually been quite good. It's not about that. It's about the schedule. I mean, the schedule is the worst, the hardest, easily in the entire SEC, in my opinion. So we have our work cut out for us. The Gators certainly do this season. But I'm always excited for college football, and I'm always, 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 Freddie, excited for SEC football. Southern fried football, that is where my entire love and affection for sports begins. In my life, college football was my first love.
Okay. Florida at the beginning, or just college football in general?
No, I've been going to Gators games since I grew up about 2.5 hours south of Gainesville. So I'd been going to Gators games. I was like one of those little babies, you know, in the little Gators cheerleader outfit. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been going to Gators games with my dad since long before I could walk.
Wow. Well, believe me, plenty of people, especially like you mentioned, in the SEC, with all those coaches and all that history, and especially when you know that somebody's going to say something at SEC Media Days that's going to have everybody losing their minds. I give you Lane Kiffin, the Ole Miss head coach. There's no shock here, and I've known Lane for more than a minute, believe me. I guess it's gotten to the point that I'm not surprised when he says something. Amber, I'm surprised if he doesn't say anything, because that's just who he is. He does not mind poking bears and everything like that. Yesterday, he talked about that the state of college football is a disaster because he says NIL is legalized what, Lane Kiffin?
Just like when everybody was like, oh, we got this NIL, it's great. And, you know, in this portal, it's great. Oh, whoa. Like, and I'm not saying I was the only one saying, I'm like, whoa, this is a disaster coming because you just legalized cheating. And you just told donors they can pay the players. That's what you did. And then, you know, it's supposed to be set up well. It's really for your name, image, likeness, for your marketing. Again, that's not what happened. That's not what's happening. They're getting paid to go to school, so it's paid for play.
I'm not going to say, Amber, that he doesn't have a point, because he does, depending on the program, depending on the conference, to be honest with you, depending on the coach and depending on the money that's out there when it comes to NIL. I'm not going to say that he's wrong when it comes to that. But it can sound hypocritical for a guy, coming from a guy, that this year is going to make over $8 million to coach college football. And the next year will make over $8.6 million to coach college football. And the year after that, to make over $9 million coaching college football. If we want to talk about legalized cheating, many people can look at coaches' salaries and say, that's kind of the same thing when it comes to NIL, what he's talking about college football being a disaster when it comes to money and that money line.
Well, none of it's cheating. NIL isn't cheating. There's nothing about cheating that's involved in NIL. I think it's such a shift in terms of the system. It has dramatically changed the face of college football. It's why people fought against it for so long, because they were concerned and scared of those changes. And it's made the job of being a college football coach much harder if you're not at a school with incredibly deep pockets in terms of the boosters. What Lane Kiffin's right about is the fact that NIL has basically become, though, a system that it probably wasn't intended to be, where for many, many years we were discussing how it's absolutely ludicrous that these kids are not allowed to benefit off of their own names, images, and likenesses. There are a lot of complications when we talk about a straight pay-for-play system that would come from the university itself, paying the players for their services. You get into a lot of problems with the other sports. You get into Title IX implications. There's a lot that goes into that. What doesn't go into that, though, is if it's in a completely outside system, and it should have been, hey, the local car wash wants the player, you know, player X to come and do an appearance here, and they pay player X X amount of dollars in order to make that appearance. Whatever. The fact that that wasn't allowed for so many years is absolutely ridiculous. But what has happened is not that. I mean, that has happened in part. But what has happened that Lane Kiffin is referring to is this whole other outside system of what essentially becomes an outside system of pay to play, where you have these booster collectives who are alumni of the universities, and they have incredibly deep pockets, and they pool their money together in the form of millions and millions and millions of dollars, and they just pay students to come play for their football program. I mean, that's what ends up happening. They're not paying a player for their name, image, or likeness. They're paying a player to play for their university that they are a booster of. And that's what these booster collectives has done. That's what Lane Kiffin is referring to. He's not entirely wrong. Now, it's not cheating. I don't see the cheating component of that. It is a very different system than the one we used to have. And it is, frankly, a different system than the one that was probably intended by the legalization of name, image, and likeness. So is there a means for those booster collectives to be reined in? Is that actually a problem in terms of competitiveness for college football? It's still a little early to tell. Right now, there still has been parity in college ball. I know Lane Kiffin's point in his comments was that the competitive nature is going to be shifted and that there's not going to be any parity in college football. If it ends up tilting that direction, do we see some sort of correction here? We know the NCAA is largely a powerless organization. And so that factors into this. You have coaches going to Washington to try to get the government involved from a federal perspective because they're frustrated by this system, what's happened with these booster collectives. It's not an easy answer, though, because the NCAA doesn't have the power now to do anything about it. Is the government going to bother? And should the government, frankly, spend its time to do anything about this? And is it even a real problem that these booster collectives end up paying these players? Because at the end of the day, of course, it's a massive benefit to the student athlete.
Amber Wilson, Freddie Coleman together this morning on ESPN Radio and ESPNU. I'll share my thoughts on what you just said. I've here with Paul Feinbaum, host of the Paul Feinbaum Show, when he was on Feinbaum. Paul! I'm telling you, Georgia's going to be the best ever, Paul!
Roll Tide, Paul!
It's not going to be done there, Paul! When Paul Feinbaum was on SportsCenter, we're going to get killed for that already. I can see it happening right now. This is what he had to say about what Lane Kiffin had to say about NIL making college football a disaster.
I laughed my way through the whole conversation. I mean, Lane Kiffin's really upset. He's legalized cheating. Players can leave at a moment's notice. I mean, he's the same guy that left Tennessee in the middle of the night to go to Southern Cal and spent most of November while his team, as you pointed out, was losing five of its last six, talking to Auburn and then leveraging that for a $10 million deal. I mean, we all admire Lane Kiffin. He's fun on Twitter, but come on, Lane. The NIL is a story that is long past acting outraged about. We know it's a mess. Thank you very much. Now, why don't you try to win a big game, okay?
Ouch. Paul went savage and whole ham when it comes to Lane Kiffin. Not that he was wrong what he said about Lane Kiffin. Two things.
Well, there's
about
a reason that Paul went savage, though, too, Freddie, because Lane had taken a shot at him in his press conference. Yeah. He had said, we have Feinbaum out here firing up Nick Saban, doubting him once again, and Feinbaum's always wrong. So thanks for that, Paul. And so now, of course, you have Paul Feinbaum taking low-key shots at Lane Kiffin.
Well, the difference is he brought receipts when it comes to Lane Kiffin because he was right about Lane Kiffin not winning big games last year. So Lane can get all hurt about that, but Paul bought receipts and Lane didn't like it, so that back and forth is going to continue. Lane Kiffin brought up something that has to be talked about in terms of NIL, transfer portal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. College coaches hate losing two things, money and power, and they know they don't have it anymore when it comes to power. They have all this money, but kids are letting them know, hey, if you don't treat me right, if you get my nose turned sideways, I'm going to be looking to go somewhere else because you guys did it all these years. If you wanted to go to a bigger program for more money And even if people got turned sideways, you didn't care. You hop, skipped, and jumped to a different program. So now they don't like the fact that kids have that kind of power that they can do that. And I'm not saying that the transfer portal is great for college football or NIL. Believe me, college football is in a really difficult kind of crossroads when it comes to both of those entities that are affecting their sport. But it's really hypocritical that you come out and say what a disaster college football has been because players are having the same rights and freedoms to do what you've always done, what you've always had a chance to do as college football coaches. That's why it comes off as hypocritical what Lane Kiffin had to say. That's number one. Number two, if you're college football, the last thing you need is the government getting involved. If you can't figure this out as college football coaches, basketball, whatever, comes to NIL and transfer portal and put those kind of rules and regulations in, and you want the United States government to help you, that's a Pandora's box that you do not want to open if you're big-time college athletics. And don't think for one second, Amber, that Lane Kiffin doesn't know that, because you do not want the government messing in your affairs if you want the government to try to find a way to fix this when it comes to NIL and the transfer portal.
I don't agree that the transfer portal is not good for college football. I actually think it's been pretty great, because I do think that it actually in some way balances out what we've seen with NIL when we're talking about parity and when we're talking about these players who don't get a shot being allowed to move. I'm sure it's incredibly difficult when you're a coach, and now they're not having to just navigate recruiting, but they're having to navigate recruiting the transfer students as well, right? So it's kind of opened up this whole different area that they have to add to their litany of lists of responsibilities, and it's hard to be a college football coach. So I get the frustration there from Lane Kiffin, but I think from the fan perspective, the transfer portal's actually been a good thing, and certainly from the student-athlete perspective, you want them to be able to have that freedom. You understand why they themselves want the same freedom in terms of where they get to be that every other college student in the entire world has who doesn't play sports, and all these coaches have as well. With NIL, it's a lot more complicated. It is more complicated. Even Paul Feinbaum said in his bite that it is a mess. And the reason it's a mess is because it is still the wild, wild west. Mm-hmm. And I do think at some point you have to find some way to institute rules beyond just every individual state and every individual university having their own rules, which it's like right now, because it's actually not coaches being powerless. It's certain coaches being incredibly powerful because, again, these booster collectives behind these coaches, Jimbo Fisher's booster collective at Texas A&M, I mean, you're talking millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars with all the oil money. There's a reason those recruiting classes are so good. It's why Nick Saban was frustrated about it for a while, because for a while, the state of Alabama had a law in its legislature that booster collectives in the state of Alabama could not exist when it first enacted its NIL laws. It quickly changed that in less than a year because it realized it was being a huge competitive disadvantage to Nick Saban, who then started losing out on all the recruits to the other schools like the Georgias and the Texas A&Ms of the world because he couldn't have a booster collective. So now he has a booster collective behind him. It's given them a lot of power. Where they remain powerless is the smaller schools who don't have that ability, who don't have the alumni with millions and millions and millions of dollars. I mean, the way this system works right now, Mattress Mac just put in Texas, just put like some obscene amount of millions into a bank account for the basketball team there. It's all an advantage to the student athlete. Don't get me wrong. It's all great for them. It gets them paid. But you can see from the coaching perspective where there's some complexities here in navigating all of that, and where maybe it would at some point here really change the parity in all of the sports across the board. We're not just talking football when we're talking these booster collectives and NIL.
I guarantee you a lot of coaches would like to have the old days back in terms of if a booster paid a guy money under the table and nobody knew about it. That always seemed to solve a lot of problems back in the day. But now everybody knows and everybody wants to show, which means that college football got to continue to manage that landscape. And believe me, that is definitely turbulent waters when it comes to that on and off the field.
You need rich alumni. You need rich alumni.
You need rich alumni or people that you're connected with that are rich that may not be alumni of that school. If you're able to manage that.
University of Florida. I'm trying, Gators. I'm trying.
She is.
Okay, Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, she's trying to help NIL to help them in the SEC when it comes to UF. Amber Wilson's trying to do that,
Amber Wilson Florida Gators. Collective. You got to give me a little bit more time, though.
Contribute to the Amber Wilson Venmo Fund for Florida football. Give until it feels good so we can compete with Georgia and Alabama in the SEC. Amber Wilson, Freddie Coleman together. Thanks for joining us this morning on ESPN Radio, as well as the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80 and ESPNU. As a matter of fact, speaking of college football, Margaret P. Battersby Black from Levin and Percanti, representing the Northwest Employers, will be joining Greeny on ESPN Radio tomorrow morning at 10:20 a.m. with Michelle Smallman and Chris Canty filling in. That is this morning at 10:20 on ESPN Radio. Keep your calls coming in. I'd like to see the Jets season play out. Are they going to contend or pretend, crash and burn or succeed at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Plus, this whole Kate Gate thing that's started by somebody shall remain nameless, Amber Wilson, has got me in some sort of way. That's next.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric E-Bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is ESPN Radio.
With Amber Wilson, I'm Freddie Coleman. Thanks for joining us on ESPN Radio as well as the ESPN app. SiriusXM Channel 80. Don't forget about us on ESPNU. Oh, we're going to get to your calls in a couple of seconds at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Plenty you want to wait about the Jets season. Will it be crash and burn, or will they actually contend in a loaded AFC? And speaking of crashing and burning, I don't bury people's lists. But Amber Wilson,
but you're about
and her, no, I'm not going to bury it. But the Amber Wilson cake, her list of the top five cakes, I don't have an issue with anybody's confections. Mm-hmm. Whatever you like is whatever you like. Mm-hmm. The one that I circled, Amber, flourless chocolate cake.
You know what's bizarre to me is that's the most controversial one. And that was number one on my list.
So yeah.
We ended up in this world of top five cakes because, first of all, it's July. And
true,
that's what you do on sports radio in July. But second of all, because Nick Saban had revealed that mm-hmm. his favorite type of cake was carrot cake. He had made a reference to his quarterback controversy being like his grandmother baking a cake when he was growing up. It takes time. You have to allow it to cook properly. If you take it out too early, it's going to be gooey, whatever. So then somebody asked him the journalistic follow-up of what's your favorite cake? Says carrot cake. And I said, well, carrot cake would be on my list of top five cakes. And so then, of course, that begged the question, what's Amber's top five cakes? The question that I don't think anybody asked for, but you got it anyways, America.
You were the heroine we always knew we needed but never thought about.
And on the very top of my list was flourless chocolate cake. Because I love chocolate. Love chocolate.
So
and
do
I don't really love cake.
Okay.
Frankly, I'm not a big cake person. Like, pie over cake any day of the week for me. I'm not a huge sweets person generally.
Right.
Joe Fortenbaugh was chastising me about me not being the authority on this subject. He's probably right. I mean, I've hardly eaten an unhealthy carb in the last like 15 years of my life. Nevertheless, when I have eaten cake, it is typically, if I'm cheating, to go for a flourless chocolate cake because that to me is less cake-like and more chocolate-like. And I like a dense, rich, dark chocolate.
Okay, but the flour makes the whole thing.
No, it doesn't, because cake's not that great. Like,
well, see, you're not a cake person. That's why.
Yeah,
I get it.
Like regular chocolate cake, miss me with it.
No, not me. You give me like a deep chocolate cake with the chocolate icing. Oh, my goodness. You had me at hello.
A lot of people were nominating a German chocolate cake.
No, I'm not a fan of that. I don't like that.
Which I guess has coconut flakes on top of it.
See, I'm not a coconut fan. Yeah.
Icing all throughout. I'm a coconut and chocolate fan, but I'm not like a coconut and chocolate cake person.
Yeah.
It's the cake component of it.
Yeah.
That I, frankly, just don't care for that much. Yeah,
my favorite cake is, and my mom makes it, but my Aunt Lucy Bell makes it in Springfield, Massachusetts, caramel icing double layer cake.
Okay, that sounds pretty glorious.
Believe me, it'll make the angels weep.
Like
I'm telling you right now.
So my favorite, carrot cake, because a lot of people find carrot cake to be controversial, which was Nick Saban's
favorite cake. My wife Denise
loves
carrot cake. She likes carrot cake.
Well, it can be amazing. And my favorite carrot cake ever was at this restaurant when I used to live in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and it was a caramel carrot cake.
Oh, man.
And it was like just gooey and ridiculous and had caramel in between the layers of it was amazing.
I want to
take cream cheese ice cream.
I want to take that off for a date right now.
Yeah.
Caramel carrot cake. I'm not really a carrot
cake
fan.
That date would go better than Mikey C's date last night.
We would not have to worry about our carrot cake ghosting us to go swimming. Like what happened to Mikey C, poor thing.
That's true.
Triple H. Somebody even, Mark Zeno, our buddy, he goes, now let's deal with your cake problems. That's when he hit us up on Twitter at Everett W Sports and the ESPN.
Mark, we're supposed to be building our friendship, buddy.
Exactly. Not tearing it down based on cake and swimming and dates and everything like that. By the way, speaking of swimming, are the Jets going to swim in deep waters, meaning contend in the AFC? Or are they going to crash and burn? 888-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Amber Wilson and Freddie Coleman know right now on ESPN Radio. Kevin in Florida, what you got to say about the Jets season coming up now that Aaron Rodgers is in green?
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thanks for having me. Hope everybody's doing well.
Thank you.
I had one thing to say, but listen to the last segment about Lane Kiffin. The view of all of the Lane Kiffin's view is what the actual disaster is. But having said all that, I wanted to chime in on the Jets of the pretenders versus contenders thing. I'm a huge fan of the Jets, but to take a note out of Joe Namath's playbook, I want to guarantee the Jets make the playoffs. I think they have the capability to make a deep run, but I even guarantee they will not win the Super Bowl. I just want to know your thoughts on that.
I'm with you. I'm a Jets fan, and thank you for the call, Kevin in Florida, and the kind words as well. I hope I'm going to be completely wrong. I think they'll make the playoffs, Amber. I could see this being a 10-win team and getting into the playoffs, but contending in a rough AFC, I'm not ready to go on that branch of that tree yet with the New York Jets.
I mean, it better be a 10-win team, right? Like, they better make a postseason, or that New York media is going to have a feeding fest. That's the reality of the situation. But I said, I mean, the most likely scenario here is that they're very good and they make a postseason and then they don't win any sort of championship. Like, that is the most likely scenario. They are in a stacked division, in a stacked conference. And I asked Jeff Darlington yesterday on air, what's more likely, them to miss a postseason or win a Super Bowl?
Right.
And at first he said win a Super Bowl, and then he talked for like 5 minutes and he talked all the way around back to talking himself into missing a postseason is actually more likely because it's a stacked AFC.
Yeah, and believe me, with their defense, Breece Hall coming back, if the offensive line can fix some questions, they will definitely contend, not just in the AFC East, but in the AFC. But we'll see if they can answer those questions once the season gets started. There's another quarterback out there that has everybody feeling confident about him and his team, even though they did not win 5 games last year. We'll talk about that pressure next on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is ESPN Radio.
Oh, Justin Fields is feeling himself. He's saying there are going to be big things from him and the Chicago Bears in 2023 after only winning 3 games. in 2022. Going to Bass of Justin Fields, Amber Wilson, Freddie Coleman together, presented by Progressive Insurance on ESPN Radio, as well as the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80 and ESPNU. Let's talk about that and other NFL matters with our man Jeff Darlington. Does a great job, as always, as an ESPN NFL reporter. Hit him on Twitter at Jeff Darlington. Jeff, Justin Fields says he's going to be the first Bears quarterback to throw for over 4,000 yards this year. What are you saying about that confidence from him after a team that only won three games in 2022?
Yeah, I mean, I respect the confidence. I'm never going to hate on a man for being overconfident, but I'm still, you know, I think I'm still in wait-and-see mode with Justin Fields. Like, he's done everything right. He's obviously shown that he's incredible with his feet, and I think that he's obviously trending in the right direction with his arm. You know, I believe that he can do it, 4,000 yards. I don't think that that's – I think he's setting a nice goal for himself. And I think there's a lot of people that expect him to kind of suddenly make the turn here to becoming a top-tier quarterback. But generally speaking, I'm still in show-me, don't-tell-me mode with the Bears in general.
We all are, I think, with the Bears in general. The problem is, Jeff, he's not Eberflus's guy. He's not Ryan Poles' guy. So how much pressure is there this season on Justin Fields?
You know what? I think, yes, there's a lot of pressure. I don't know if it's for that reason. Like, I think about Jalen Hurts. Like, Jalen Hurts wasn't necessarily why he was Howie Roseman's guy. He wasn't Nick Sirianni's guy. When Sirianni got there, right. By any means, I think Sirianni was going in there like, all right, we'll see what we got with this guy, and quickly realized that Hurts' work ethic and willingness to continuously improve, which he still has yet to even dip at all in that regard. I think it showed that he's Sirianni's guy now. So Justin Fields can get there with these guys. I don't think that they are looking at this with skeptical eye. I think they are also of the mindset that Justin Fields, we've seen what he's done. We put a – this is his second year in the same system, which he's never really had before. We saw what they did with his footwork last year, and it seems like this coaching staff is investing him like he is exactly their guy.
Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter, always gracious by him to stop by to join Freddie Coleman and Amber Wilson on ESPN Radio. Jordan Love is now the guy when it comes to Green Bay Packers. I'm sure Packers fans are saying either finally or, oh, my God. What are your thoughts about Jordan Love taking over Aaron Rodgers and maybe getting this team into the playoffs post-Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, I would be skeptical. I wouldn't necessarily be convinced that the Packers were playoff-bound even with Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback. So I feel the same with Jordan Love as the quarterback. I don't know if they're built to be, especially in the division that is really improving, where you've got, we talked about the Bears getting better, the Lions seemingly a sleeper team this year, or maybe not even a sleeper anymore. The Vikings, obviously one of those teams where they're always in it, if not a crazy postseason threat. So it's going to be difficult for the Packers to get in no matter what. And anybody who tells you that they know what's going to happen with Jordan Love as the starting quarterback, I think is being a little biased there in either direction. We just haven't seen him. There's no body of work.
Right.
And so as such, it's kind of wait and see mode.
What does need to get done in terms of Jordan Love, in terms of that coaching staff and that front office? Yeah. What do you think Jordan Love needs to do this season in order to prove to them that they all made the right decision in this era after Aaron Rodgers is going to be just fine, even if they're not actually, in your opinion, necessarily going to have postseason success?
Yeah, we'll know. I mean, Matt LaFleur, I think, already out of the gates this offseason. I remember being at the league meetings, and LaFleur was basically saying right away, like, hey, we all have to have appropriate expectations for Jordan Love. And that is fair, and I appreciate exactly why LaFleur is saying that. At the same time, look, when you kind of, and not him, the organization, in says, we're going this direction, and they can say all day, all they want that, you know, Aaron Rodgers chose this direction, they did too. You know, this is part of their plan when they drafted Jordan Love, and at this point he's 3 years in. I mean, he was drafted a year before Justin Fields, right? So wow. Like the expectations are deservedly high, and he's got to show immediately that he is a franchise guy. I think we will know when we see it,
I'm not saying he's got to go out and be a Super Bowl winner by any means, but I think he's got to certainly prove that he is a franchise quarterback.
Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter with Amber Wilson and Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio and ESPNU. I can't believe we've gotten this far. And I mentioned Aaron Rodgers to you. It took about 6-7 minutes before we actually got
a
chance.
We tried.
We did kind of go over there, but we knew we were going to get back here. Yeah, exactly, because of Aaron Rodgers. If I say the Jets with Aaron Rodgers, even with an offensive line that is in question, but weapons on the outside, we know how great that defense can potentially be. Does Jeff Darlington think the New York Jets in 2023 are a contender or a pretender, and why?
Contender, absolutely. And it's because of the quarterback. This I agree that this team was a plug-and-play quarterback away from being a true playoff contender. They're in a brutal division, and I don't think that we're going to see a division in the AFC with three teams coming out of it into the playoffs, because there's several brutal divisions. I mean, you've got, when you just look at the Bengals, Browns, Ravens, and Steelers, like, that's a team, that's another division that could have certainly two teams coming out of it. So I just don't think that even if the Jets are a 12-13 win team, they're still going to be fighting for a playoff spot.
Right.
But I do believe that this team has the makeup, the championship qualities, to really make some noise this season.
Okay.
The AFC East is obviously stacked with contenders, but let's talk about the NFC, because we had to rank our Super Bowl contenders, and I struggled, Jeff, to even name eight. I was like, do I have to have somebody in the NFC? Like, does somebody from the NFC have to go to the Super Bowl?
And
you know,
we said,
can we change the rules? You know,
no.
And apparently somebody from the NFC has to go to the Super Bowl. So outside of the Philadelphia Eagles, give me two teams, if I make you choose two, that you think are true contenders this season.
All right, so the 49ers, I think for sure, they're just built. Kyle Shanahan's always going to build a contender. And I actually think that Brock Purdy will pick up where he left off. I still wonder what would have happened in that game if he didn't hurt his elbow. It would have been a much closer game, even if ultimately the same outcome. So, all right, Eagles, 49ers.
That's why I made you choose two.
Cowboys.
Who is
why
it? Like, you're going to go Cowboys? Like, I'm not putting my name on that.
Just
who, like, really, who is it? Is it the Vikings?
No.
Not without Dalvin Cook?
No.
No? I mean, who? Like, really? Seahawks, were a nice story last year. I think they'll continue to be a good team, but I can't put them as a Super Bowl contender. It is crazy. You could name off eight teams in the AFC that wouldn't surprise me if they got to the Super Bowl. And in the NFC, like, I dare throw out teams without a major disclaimer on them.
Who do you think?
I mean, some people would say the Lions. I'm not one of those people, right?
I think they win a division.
Story.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be whatever team gets hot at the end of the year.
Kind
of. You know when, like, the Giants won their two Super Bowls, how they just kind of caught on at the end?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a team like that. I don't know, outside of the Eagles and the 49ers, what team that would be.
Yeah, we're completely with you on that one. I think, to me, honestly, it's the 49ers, Eagles, Cowboys, and then everybody else in the NFC. And I don't know how confident I am, Jeff and Amber, by putting that out there, that it's those three and everybody else in the NFC. Either way, should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I mean, you put your name on it. I'm not doing it.
Just leave me out here on that island by myself. Thank you. I thought we were friends, but apparently not anymore. Always appreciate you, Jeff, man. Take care, my friend. Have a good weekend, too.
Thanks, guys.
Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter. Always enjoy having him here. Hit him on Twitter at Jeff Darlington. Joining Freddie Coleman and Amber Wilson. Speaking of Twitter, at Coleman ESPN and Amber W Sports, we got a couple of people wanting to weigh in about Mikey C, one of our producers behind the scenes, was supposed to go on a date last night with a young lady. And the young lady said that she decided to go swimming. She would call him later. She didn't get in contact with him later. Well, a couple of people want to weigh in. Comedian says, I am dying listening to you talk about your coworker getting ghosted on his date. He also said Amber's breakdown was priceless, because Amber said, hey, this is why she did it. But comedian wants to know, Amber, can you provide some dating advice for guys out there trying to make sure they don't get ghosted like Mikey C?
But just dating advice generally of how not to get ghosted?
Whatever you want.
That seems a little bit more complicated, dating advice generally. I feel like I need to know more about this individual who wants this advice to tell him how to put his best foot forward in order to not get ghosted.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it's anything that Mikey C did wrong. It's
true.
Just that she woke up yesterday morning, because her date was supposed to be last night. She woke up yesterday morning and she got cold feet. That's the reality. She just started thinking, I don't really want to go on this date tonight. You know, she wakes up in the morning like, man, I don't really want to do this. I don't want to deal with the stress of getting ready or meeting a new guy, whatever the case may be. So she gave herself an out. She said, hey, I might be a little bit late at the pool today because apparently swimming is of the utmost importance to her. And maybe that's part of her workout routine. So she thought, I might be late. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make it. She gave herself a buffer there, gave herself an out, and then she utilized it. And she ghosted him the rest of the day.
Some people say I was a little passive aggressive when she told me she might be late because he was swimming. I responded with, well, if you want to go swimming instead of hang out with me, we can make it another time.
Oh, no.
Oh, he was, I guess I should have told you that part.
Oh, no.
Why did you wait until now to give us that kind of intel?
Well, because if she wants to go swimming,
I too would ghost you.
Oh,
oh no. Right. You, that's
whatever.
Way too bad. No, there's okay. All right, here's my dating advice.
I did explain right after that. I did say, I wouldn't mind, but I have to work early tomorrow. I'm doing morning show at 5 a.m.
No, no, no.
Or I wouldn't care.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what came after that. There's no coming back from if you'd rather go swimming than a date with me.
You gave her the option.
Unless you were being funny, and it didn't come across as funny, I assure you that.
It never does on a text or Twitter. It never does.
So my best dating advice for you is, man, you've got to walk that line between being cool as a cucumber, but also still seeming interested enough. Because if you don't seem interested enough, then the girl's going to ghost you. And if you seem too interested, then the girl's going to ghost you. And what Mikey just did by being passive aggressive is not come across cool at all whatsoever. And so she's like, nah, this dude, he's too much drama. I can't. He's not cool. He's too into this. I'm out.
All right. That's great. That's great advice for the regular guy. But when we go to break, can you give Mikey advice for Mikey?
For Mikey, yeah. Because regular guys, no. But Mikey needs Mikey C advice. That's what. There's a difference.
Don't be passive aggressive.
Yeah. There you go. Be strong. Be firm.
You have to act like you don't care. Like, you have to be like, oh, okay. Well, you know, I get it. No big deal. I'm busy tonight, too. I have to wake up early. Let me know if you want to reschedule sometime. Act like, you know what? Like, I'm responding, so I'm interested enough to respond, but I'm going to keep it moving. I got things going on in my life. I ain't sweating this, honey. And then all of a sudden, she's intrigued. She's like, oh, this dude, he's got other options.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like Elaine.
I love you having other options.
It's just like a Seinfeld with Elaine wanted to date a guy, Fred, that didn't want to be bothered with her, and she was on a crusade. And it worked because there was no way he was in her league. No way. But he kept not paying attention, didn't want to be bothered with her, and she was on a crusade.
Oh, it's so intriguing. Like, if you're a woman and you walk into a room and every dude looks at you and it's the one guy who doesn't, you're like, huh, what's wrong with him?
Yeah.
And then you're like, wait a minute, what is wrong with him?
it's never what's
Why
wrong
doesn't
with,
he
it's,
dig it?
It's never what's wrong with you.
That's how
it's what's wrong with him. Not the other way around. What's wrong with her? No, it's what's wrong with me sometimes, not what's wrong with her when it comes to guys. This Guys and Girls Talk brought to you by Mikey C. Freddie Cohen and Amber Wilson here on ESPN Radio.
I'm happy to do this all show.
Oh, absolutely.
Long.
Hey, if you want more dating advice from an experienced person like yourself, like yours truly, Amber Wilson, hit us up on Twitter.
Experienced? Hey, not too experienced, not, Freddie. Let's
I didn't
be,
say
not
too, no.
Take it
I'm not saying too experienced. That's not what I'm saying. Don't put words in my mouth. But if you want dating advice, we'll be glad to give it to you.
Right amount of experience.
It's like Amber W. Sports, her handle, my handle at Coleman ESPN. And the NFLPA president gave advice to an NFL running back that was probably not a good idea. Maybe should have given Mikey C dating advice, but we digress. That's next on ESPN Radio and ESPNU.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is ESPN Radio.
So now what for Saquon Barkley? Will he sit out? Will he hold out? Will he play? All those questions yet to be answered. Amber Wilson, Freddie Coleman together. Thanks for joining us this morning on ESPN Radio, as well as the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPNU. Well, one person, Amber Wilson, gave Saquon Barkley a little piece of advice how to handle this situation. He is J.C. Treader, president of the NFL Players Association. When he was on the Ross Tucker podcast, he talked about if you're Saquon Barkley, this is how you get leverage back in your situation.
You need to try to create as much leverage as you possibly can in any situation. And that's the tough thing with the franchise tag or being restricted in movement, is it decreases your leverage, but then you have to find creative ways to build leverage elsewhere. And I think we've seen issues. Now, I don't think anybody would ever say they were fake injuries, but we've seen players who didn't want to be where they currently are, have injuries that made them unable to practice and play. But you're not able to get fined and you're not able to be punished for not reporting. So there are issues like that. I don't think I'm allowed to ever recommend that, but or at least publicly. But I think each player needs to find a way to build up leverage to try to get a fair deal. And that's really what all these guys are looking for, is to be compensated fairly.
That was some real honesty and some real transparency there from J.C. Treader, who said, I can't publicly say that I'm recommending faking injuries. We know what he's saying privately. And the reality is, these guys don't have to fake injuries. They're running backs, right, Freddie? They get beat up all season long. So the key here is that maybe you milk it a little bit, right? Like, we see this with NBA players, you know, the hammy's acting up for James Harden a little extra. It's not that he doesn't have any hamstring issues at all. He's been playing in the league forever. He's got an incredible usage rate. And because of that, you know, the hammy acts up a little extra. And it's the same thing in the NFL. All these guys that play football, they've got some tweaks. They've got some strains, right? It hurts to be an NFL player. And so you have one that hurts a little bit more when it's convenient for you. And like Treader just said, that's your way out of the fines. Because if you don't show up at all, you're going to get fined. And there goes your money. But if it's just a Saquon, he gets into the season or he's playing in training camp here, tweaks something in camp, you know, maybe plays week one. And then after that, it's like, I've got some soreness in my knee. I'm a 26-year-old running back. It's what happens. The problem with the situation for a Saquon or a Josh Jacobs utilizing this won't be the bank account that becomes the problem. It will be the next contract that becomes the problem. Because the reason that we're here largely is already that concern of the body breaking down for these running backs by the time these guys are only in their mid-20s, which is what we're talking about when we're talking about Saquon Barkley. And so then for him to go out and tell us that his body is, air quotes, breaking down. That's the risk you're running. After a season of doing that, your bank account might look okay. You're getting that money from that franchise tag. You're getting that $10.1 million, and you're not contributing to the Giants in the manner in which they want. But are the Giants then going to about face and go, you know what, you're right, we made a mistake, we should pay you all this money when you just told us you had all these injuries all season long? Or will any other team, if they don't franchise him again? That's the risk.
The Giants have told Saquon Barkley this. They'd rather quibble over $1.5 to $2 million and not get a deal done with you, even though you're really important. But they'd rather give $82 million in guaranteed money to an adequate quarterback in Daniel Jones. That's basically the message that they told him. Anything that he can do is going to be used against him. If he plays, they're going to say you're 1 year closer to your due date when it comes to being an effective running back. If you don't play, well, that means he's not committed to the team. Why would you want to be investing in that guy? No matter what he decides to do, it's going to be used against him. The Giants have told him that. They'd rather give Daniel Jones an adequate quarterback, $82 million in guaranteed money, but they won't give you that $1.5 to $2 million that could have gotten this whole deal done with Saquon Barkley getting a long-term contract. And he knows that. And that's why he's like, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. You mentioned before we got started today, Amber, that you would not want to be Saquon Barkley to be in his shoes. For all the things you said and all the things I'm saying right now, no matter what he does, because of the reality that as a running back in the NFL, it's going to be used against him, because it's already happening now with the New York Giants in this situation.
except for showing up and playing and making $10.1 million. And it doesn't excuse where we're at with the state of the running back position. And I understand where it is in comparison to the other positions in the league. And that sucks for running backs. But at the same time, we are talking about a job where if he does show up and he does play,
yeah,
it's $10.1 million.
That's why he's
right?
going to show up
you
week
know?
One.
It's not minimum wage.
Yeah, he's going to show up week one because of what you just said.
Right, and I know it's all relative, but it's $10.1 million. Like, everyone's on this campaign right now feeling so, so, so bad for running backs. It's $10.1 million. Like, maybe feel bad for sports radio hosts. It's $10.1 million. It's not that bad.
Amber locking it in. Will Saquon be in the field for the Giants in week one? We believe he will. By the way, locking in is brought to you by Gorilla for the toughest jobs on planet Earth. You want to have a Venmo account that makes your radio hosts get paid more money. I'm sure Amber will have that available for you on AbbyW Sports on her Twitter handle. Saquon is not done when it comes to the NFL, but another guy is that's no longer in the NFL. We'll tell you who that is next.
This is ESPN Radio. More next.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.